Well, I would appreciate your prayers this morning. I have something I've been thinking about, and I feel like I really need the Lord to bring it together. So I ask you for your prayers. Thinking about the need to be, single-purposed or single-eyed towards the Lord. I know that there's a lot of things that we have duties for and a lot of things in life, but it all comes down to whatever it is that it's got to work in harmony with our direction towards the Lord, and that it's important. I think it's very important to have the idea of the things that are in our life. There's an old, saying or adage to burn our bridges. And of course, the illustration of that would be that you're crossing over something and you burn the bridge. The bridge is the way across. It's leaving one place and going to another. And if you burn that bridge, then there's no way to get back. And it solidifies your mind, your heart. There is no way back. I'm determining that I'm not going back to that. I'm leaving it and leaving it forever. And I told somebody this story recently, but there was years ago. There was somebody that had come up to me between services and said, "I really would like for you to go pray with me." And I said, "Well, we'll go pray." And so we went to the altar, and he told me, he said, "I've been smoking for years, and most all my life I've smoked." And he said, I've tried to get rid of the habit, and I've tried, and he said, I can't break it." And he said, "I'd like for you to pray for me that God would just remove all the desire from me that I wouldn't even want to smoke anymore. Because I have tried and tried," and we had prayer and got to talking more and more, and I finally made a comment, something that would have said in his mind that I believed that it was actually wrong to smoke, and he stopped me right there, right at the altar, stopped me and said, "Now hold on, preacher." He said, I want to tell you right off. Said, over the years I've dealt with one preacher after another, and they tried to convince me that there's something wrong with that there was sin and smoking in it. And he said, "I don't believe it." Said, "I don't believe." Well, you obviously think I'm pretty shocked because we're there dealing with this. And he says he didn't feel like there was anything wrong with it. Well, I just simply asked him, "Well, why you want to quit for? If there's nothing wrong with it, what are you wanting to quit for?" I mean, it seems like an obvious idea there. And I said, "Brother, we just found the root of your problem. There's a reason why you can't get victory over this. This is the reason, because there is a pattern to victory. You can have victory in your life. But you can't say with something like that, I'm trying to quit cigarettes, and I went and bought a carton of cigarettes, and they're sitting here. They're setting you. I want to tell you, throw them things away. You got to get rid of that. You got to burn the bridge. You got to say, they got to have a conviction." I told him, I said, "Brother, you're never going to get it until you get a conviction in your heart. You get a conviction that this is going to cost you more. This is going to cost you more than you can get out of it. This is bad. I got to get rid of it. And I'm going to do it." I'm going to tell you, God's going to meet you with that conviction. God will give you victory over that. But you're going to have to burn the bridges. Burn the bridges. You're going to have to get rid of them. I ain't saying that all experiences are the same. And maybe God did give somebody an overwhelming victory while they had cigarettes in their pocket. But I'm going to tell you, it don't usually work that way. You're going to have to throw those things. Say, "Lord, I need your help, and this is how far I'm going to go. I'm going to burn the bridges. I'm going to get rid of all of that. I'm going to and be done with all of that." And like I said, obviously my faith to pray was hindered by the testimony that the brother had, that I got this habit and there's nothing wrong with it. And it was hard for me to pray and really pray and believe that this is, Lord, I have mercy. I know you can do everything. But there's a part for us to play in this. There's something for us to do in this. And there's times to where we're going to have to say that it doesn't matter. This doesn't matter. There's times that people hold on to things. This is my message today. Let go. Let go of it. You may have been hurt in your life. There may be some unforgiveness in there. There may be some hurts in there. Some things that's really hard. I'm going to say, let go of that. Let go of that thing. Burn the bridges. I'm not going back to it. I'm going to get rid of that thing that's in my life. Many times unforgiveness, we think somehow that unforgiveness is hurting the ones that hurt us. You're not hurting them. They don't know it. They go on with their business. They go eat. They go play. They can do whatever they want. They're not hurt by what you're hurting with. You're hurting yourself by hanging on to it. Turn that thing loose. Let it go. Get to the point that you say, I'm willing to just burn the bridges that's in my life. And I'm thinking of Scripture. Brother Mansell will remember this because you mentioned it a couple weeks ago. But it's in Hebrews 11. I'm going to go to 13. Let's start there. It says, Hebrews 11 and 13, these all died in faith, not having received the promise, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. So what are we tied down to? What are we tied down to? You know, honestly, the whole Scripture talks this way. We need to have a single purpose about serving God. We live in this world. We're going to have to face and do the things in this world. But you know, we are really pilgrims and strangers on this earth. We're supposed to have our view to the next world. We're supposed to have our view to over there. It said that these confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. You know, the further this old earth goes, thank the Lord, the further we don't hardly fit into it. Saints of God don't hardly fit into this world in these ways. And I think of this, and I'm not hateful or evil or mean to anybody, and I love everybody and all this. But this trans movement and all of the things from the woke things and the things that they're saying and all the things that they're doing, more and more, I'm just not a part of this. I'm just not a part of this world and this thinking and this idea and of all the things that they're doing and all those things. I'm just, it's just more and more opposed to my way of wanting to, the spirit that I have and the things in it. Just more and more. I love all those people. I hope they all find their way through this world to find God and eternal life. But I'm just not fixed for this world very well. I don't want it. I don't want to round those things. I don't want those things. Years ago, I told the Lord, if you'll save me, I'll do whatever you want. I'll turn away from all of that stuff. And Lord, help us to burn the bridges that you cut it loose. Just cut that stuff loose. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And listen to this. And it says, truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they had come out, they might have opportunity to have returned. Throw it away. Get rid of it. Get rid of it. Get out of your mind. I know it's harder. The technology and stuff that we have today, it's harder than that. Used to be if you was going to listen to music, you went and bought a record. You went and bought an album. You went and bought a tape. Well, I date back a long way. So start out with, you got these records. We had a lot of stuff at home back when I was growing up. We had this little turntable. Y'all remember it? It was a suitcase. It was about this big. It looked like a suitcase. You opened it up and you plugged it in. You all know what I'm talking about? It had this little deal on it that you put on there. Your young ones probably ain't never seen it, a lot of them. But I wanted to describe it to you. Because it had a turntable with an arm on it that had a needle on it. And you put it on this record. And the big records, I forget what they was, but they went onto this little peg and spun around it. But then they had this little thing that you didn't click up and you put the littler records on. Remember? And it clicked on there. What, one was 45s? I think the little ones was the 45s that you put on there. We had those, and you put it on it. And it was a big deal to buy one of them. You just didn't buy them anywhere. It was something to get those. And so it's different now, because then after that, I mean, that was most of my growing up years is what they had. Then they come out with something that was, I mean, it was modern technology. It was like state of the art. It was called 8-tracks. These 8-tracks was a thing. They started actually putting the 8-tracks in cars, in vehicles, where they had a radio for a long time. Well, then the newer models, you had these 8-tracks. I remember Dad had a car that had the 8-track player in there, and he had some 8-tracks. And the good thing about what Dad listened to, it wasn't much good to me. I didn't listen to any 8-tracks. But my point is, it was easy to do what I'm saying back then. It was easy to discard and burn the bridges. If you said I'm getting away from this, then you got rid of it and it wasn't on hand. It's a different world today, but I'm going to tell you the necessity is still the same. Burn the bridges. Get rid of those things that's in your life. Put a barrier in there and say, no, I'm going to burn the bridges. I'm not going back to that way. I'm not going back to those things that are there. If they had been mindful of the country which they had come from, this world is what he's talking about. If they had been mindful for the country, they'd have had a way of going back to that country. But they erased it out of their mind. That's not for me anymore. That country, that way of life, that kind of that style, that thing. I don't want the ways of the world. I don't want the prides of the world. I don't want the envies. I don't want the jealousies. I don't want the things of the world. I'm going to cut the bridges. I'm going to cut it away and get rid of it. I'm going to stay away from it. If it had a mind to return. He said if they had, and truly if they had been mindful. Folks, our battle's right here. A battle's in our minds. If they'd have been mindful of it, if they'd have longed for it, if they'd have wanted it, now I'm going to put it out there. That's not what I'm striving for. I'm going to keep my mind on other things. I'm going to think on good things. I'm going to think on the right things. I'm going to keep my mind on that. Because if you got your mind on it, it's like the guy with the cigarette. He's up there praying for deliverance from cigarette. And he's got a pack of cigarettes in his pocket. And he's got a carton of them in his car. And he's got this and he knows, well, I got these in case I can't do it. Lord, help us. You got to be more than that. When you come to the point, folks, I'm going to tell you where deliverance is at. When you come to the point that you tell the Lord, Lord, I mean this with all my heart. I want help. I want rid of this. And I'll do anything I can do to get it. The ones that's failed in the scriptures so many times was the ones that held on to things. And I got this thought, I want to tell you, I got this thought yesterday. We went over to the Shenandoah National Park. And we decided to take this hike, which was very enjoyable. It was a very enjoyable hike. We hiked down and somehow I got in my mind that it wasn't that far down there, and it was a long ways. We hiked a long ways, and the further we got, the further away from turning around we were. We've come too far not to see this big falls. We started from the top full of vinegar. We had the zest about us. We're going to go and see that. But the further we went down the trail, and it's still a ways, and it's still a ways. But I want to tell you something. When we got down there to where we was going, we had no choice about hiking now. I don't know. We're a couple miles down. I don't know how far it was down there. It was down in there. You don't catch a bus out of there. I got to thinking, we committed ourselves. Folks, we're committed. Going down, you can turn around at some point and shorten your... But we're all the way down there now, and there's only one way to get out of here. There's only one way home now. We're totally committed. And you know what we committed to? We committed to every element. Well, there's no danger in this, really, but on our way down, there was this ledge around, and Dries got down there, and there was this ledge that come down over, you could look over and all, and the rock like this, and then kind of a ledge, and got down there, and there was at least five rattlesnakes, at least five, laying just past your feet right there in this ledge. And I don't know more copperheads up in there. I don't know how many copperheads was all curled up in there, but there was 9 or 10 snakes, poisonous snakes, laying right there. Folks, you're down there, you're committed to it now. You're committed to whatever comes. We got down there, and I looked and started getting dark, and it's too early to be getting dark, and darkness coming, and I said, oh no, they've been having a lot of storms through there. Storms is going to come from time to time, and I'm down in there and thinking, we're miles down in here. The only way, and this is going through my mind, boy, we sure committed to this. We're in it now. We're in this thing wholesale. Rattlesnakes, copperheads, sprained ankles, slipping on the rocks, raining, storming, whatever it is, we're down in there. We're committed to having to walk out. You can't stop and say, I'm tired, I'm not going to go anywhere. I'm done hiking. You ain't done hiking. You're down in there, and nobody... I think Liddy Jo cheat and got Dries to carry her out, but she was the only one that could cheat like that. The rest of us are committed. Nobody can pack you out of here now. You're going to have to do it yourself. And I started thinking about this and saying, you know what? Lord, help us to commit wholesale. Lord, I mean to go to heaven. That means I'm going to commit to the storms of life. I'm going to commit to the adversities that might come. I'm going to commit myself to the Christian race. Sometimes it seems like you're on the mountaintop and you're in the middle of the camp meeting and you're singing hallelujah and every wonderful. I feel it. And then other times it's not like that, folks. Serving the Lord is not like that. Sometimes the Lord allows darkness. We got to fight the darkness sometimes. Sometimes the storm clouds are on the horizon and they look like... I kept thinking, boy, if it was just me, I kept saying this in my mind. If it was just me, I'd start running. I didn't feel like that if I did run up out of there and beat the weather and my family's down over there with a storm coming, that I'll probably just have to run back anyway. So I said, I'm not going to run. I'm going to stay close to Lyndon and Shelton. We're all hiking up out of here together. But I felt like the desire was, here comes this darkness, this rain. I don't want to be caught in the rain. I don't want to be caught in a storm here. I told them, I said, we need to get out of here. There was the evidence of these storms there on the trail. There was trees that was blown over, and there was limbs laying here and there, different places on there. The storms had went through there, and I was thinking, I wouldn't want to be here if a storm hit in here. There's big timber in here and all this stuff, and I don't want to be in here with this hit. But you know what? We committed to it. We committed. There's nothing else to do. Lord, help us. You want to go to heaven? You can go. God promised us you can go. And I got to burn the bridges. And I got to commit myself that no matter what happens, no matter what comes, what's going, I'm in this thing. There's no way out. And you know, there's a place to where, you remember when in the 6th chapter of John, when Jesus had said, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you can not enter into, and many of his disciples walked no more with him at that time. They wasn't committed. There wasn't committed to the purpose. And after they had went away, Jesus looks at his 12 and says, will you go away also? And Peter says to him a very valuable thing in my spirit of the message today. Lord, we're committed. We're committed. You have the words of eternal life. We went too far to turn back now. We're committed to this. Where would we go? Where would we go? Are we going to... What are you going to do? I'm going to ask you something. And the idea of being down over the hill there. I mean, down there in the woods on a trail. Having to come up out of there and the storm's going to hit and all of that. Is there a covey? Is there a cave? Is there a security? Folks, is there anything in this life except for Jesus Christ? Does anybody really have the assurance of Social Security? I mean, honestly, do you really? Yeah, you'll spend it when it comes, whatever. But I'm saying, is it really your security? What other safety, shelter, whatever, high tower? What else is there in life that you can honestly say is going to secure you? You think enough money is going to do it? You think your health right now will do it? So you get through it for a little while. I'm old enough to know that it changes daily sometimes with me. It's uncertain. Is there another refuge in this life other than Christ? Peter said, to whom would we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. I'm going to tell you, they was committed. Does nobody else has the word? Lord, this is the statement. The storms may hit, Lord. There might be things we don't understand. It may look bad for us. We may give our life for these things, but thou hast the words of eternal life. There's no other eternal life. There's nothing else anywhere. What can I do with this? I'm committed. I'm totally committed to this. No matter what happens, this is the road home. This is the road that my life will take. This is the way to do it. And you know, I've seen our examples, and not everybody here is old enough or been here long enough to know what this means to some of us. But we had examples here of people that laid their commitment down to the Lord, and they never picked it back up. They said, Lord, we will follow you, and I've given too much to turn back now. And they burned the bridges of the world. They're not going back to the world for help. They're not going back to the world for those things. They accept their face like a flint and said, this is the way we're going to go. No matter what the Lord brings into our pathway, thou hast the words of eternal life. And they laid it down, and we saw them lay it down, their commitments. They laid their lives down and gave it to the Lord, and we watched them do it, and we watched them go on and serve God faithfully through all of that. They never had, as the scripture in Hebrews says, and truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they had come out, they might have had an opportunity to have returned, but they never considered the land that they come from that they was going to go back to. Did Sister Sammons ever say in her life, I'm going back to Kentucky. I'm going back to the life that I used to live. When she come down to the final days of her life, she didn't look back and say it was better back then. She still had her mind there. This is where I started. This is the only way home now. I'm on the trail, and I'm going home, and this is the only way to go. I remember coming down through, I remember Brother Sammons looking across the valley, and I appreciated him because he was an older minister to me, and he looked across there and said, it'd be a shame. I would miss heaven after all of this. Well, that was his comment. You can figure out what he was saying. He drove thousands of miles. He prayed for people, and God touched him too. He had a power in his prayer, and God worked in his life. And he said after all of that, down at the end of his life, what a shame it would be after all of this that I'd lose my soul. Right down to last, he was still on the trail. He was still on the trail. I mean to go on on the trail. I don't want to lose my soul after all of this. You know, he was concerned about you. He wasn't one of those that said that I've got it made. He wasn't one of those that thought he stood. He was still fighting. Brother Jim did the same thing. Come down to the end of his life. And if he'd have been mindful of that, would he come? No, he wasn't mindful of that anymore. Laid that down many years ago. I intend to make heaven. Brother Jim fought more at the end of his life than anybody I ever saw. He fought. He was a saved man and loved the Lord. But I'm going to tell you, he so desperately wanted to go to heaven. He was on the trail, and there was no turning around now. I've got to make this right in every place I know. I got to make this right. He wanted nothing left to chance on this. I got to make this totally right. He had so set his mind away from the things of this world. He was dead set. He didn't no mind to go back. There's nothing back there. Thou hast the words of eternal life. Lord, help us in this day and time to be a people that are determined that no matter what happens, we're going to serve God. I want to look at a scripture in Matthew. Let's see, about 19, I think. Familiar, very familiar passage, use it a lot. Matthew 19 and 16. And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good things shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep thy commandments. He said unto him, Which? Jesus said, Thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The young man saith unto him, All of these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? Jesus said unto him, If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come and follow me. One passage says, And Jesus loved him. That's why he told him. Man came and asked an honest question. Jesus gave him an honest answer. Didn't hold back on him. He told him the answer. What do I lack? You need to cut free. Young man, you need to cut free. You know, the Bible says that you can't love two masters. You can't love two masters. You can't love God and wealth. Mammon, you can't make it your God. It doesn't work. It's conflicting, and you got to hate one or the other. And hate, it means is you value it less. So either God becomes, if you make money your God, then God becomes less. It becomes a conflict of what you want and desire. I'm saying there's a lot of activities that's good to do, but I'm saying you can love fishing to the point that God will conflict your fishing. God will conflict your fishing. You're hunting. God will ask something of you somewhere along the line. There'll be something that'll cross paths of it. You love it enough, though, you'll do it instead of it. There'll be times where God will call you on your money. It's not your money. It's my money. You do with it what I want you to. God will cross you on those kind of things. So here's this man, and he's asking this question. What must I do? Inherit eternal life. And Jesus told him, go sell all that you have. Well, I'm going to tell you what that must have felt like at that time to get the truth. You're going to have to burn your bridges, young man. You're going to have to cut loose. You're going to have to get on the trail and commit. Totally commit to this and get rid of this, because this is going to be a hindrance to you. What must I do? This is what you need to do. You need to sell all that you have. You're not committed. You're not committed to the Lord. You're not given to the Lord. You're playing it like a spectator sport. You're watching it go on. Folks, cut it out. Cut loose. Ask the Lord. Ask the Lord. Be free to the Lord. Lord, what do you want me to do? What would you have me to do? I'm in this thing. I'm going to tell you the truth about it. Lord knows. When I first started preaching, I had to commit to being a fool. I'm not just talking about the foolishness of preaching. I said, I'm going to make a fool of myself. The Lord's answer to me is are you willing to make a fool of yourself? And I said, yes, Lord. I'll make a fool of myself. If I have to make a fool of myself, then I'll make a fool of myself. I'm cutting loose on this. Lord, if you want me to, if that's all I can do and that's what you want me to do, then I'm going to risk being a fool. There's times I felt plenty fool from doing this. Cut loose. If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. I remember a case one time. My sister was involved in this, so she don't mind me telling it. You wouldn't know the other participant, but there was a situation where a young woman went to the altar. Number of people, sisters gathered around, one, then another, praying to get her help. And they prayed and prayed for deliverance, victory. They wanted victory. She couldn't get it. She couldn't get victory. Prayed for her, couldn't get victory. She was a girl of the world. She was been out there in the world and all the experiences of the world. She couldn't get victory. And so finally they thought, well, my sister fits the understanding of this. So they got my sister and got down there. And sister got down there and said they got down there and prayed with her a little bit and said it was obvious to her. My sister asked her, said, okay, what is it? What? No, what is it? What's hindering you here? Boyfriend? Yeah. Yeah, it's a boy. Boyfriend. Couldn't get victory, couldn't get prayed through. Why? You got a boyfriend? Yeah, yeah. You're not going to give him up, are you? No. I'm not giving him up. Okay. Here it is. You get to it real quick. No need to do it. You're not all in. You're not all in. God came to give us victory. God came to give us deliverance. God can do what he said he's going to do. Young man, go sell all that you got. You want victory? Go sell all that you got. I ain't talking half or a quarter. Jesus said go sell everything you got because this is where you can't get victory at. This is where you're always going to be hindered at. This is where you're going to have a bridge to go back on. You will always go back to the world here. You're not going to get the victory here. The world will always pull you back here. So she told the young girl, this is where you're going to have to pray to. When you're willing, for heaven's sake, for Christ's sake, to give up this situation that's wrong, then you'll find victory. But you're going to have to burn that bridge. You're going to have to get rid of that place in your life because if you're not willing to give up that, you know, this is so tight in the mind of the Lord. It is so tight that He actually tells us that if our conscience condemns us, you know, if we feel in our conscience something is wrong, whether it actually is wrong or not, it is committed to us as wrong. Because we're putting it ahead of the Lord. We should be willing to give anything to the Lord. But if we feel like it's something that we shouldn't do, even if it's not, it's committed to us. Because it's in our heart. He's dealing with our heart in this matter. So he tells this young man, oh, I've heard it different, but I think the man was totally sincere when he come to the Lord and asked us, what must I do? He wanted to know what he'd done. I kept the commandments. Something was pulling at this young man, or if he had kept the commandments and felt confident in himself, he wouldn't have went and asked the Lord. Something was pulling at him. The Lord was dealing with him about this matter. You know this is a God to you. There was a time where Apostle Paul was dead, set in his mind that he's doing right, and he's got a letter, and he's going to Damascus to persecute the church, and he's on the way, and the Lord meets him on the road to Damascus. And he says, Lord, who art thou? And the Lord says, this is Jesus whom thou persecutest. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. That has always been an interesting scripture to me because it insinuates that Paul was knowing something. You're kicking against the pricks, Paul. I've been dealing with you and you know it. You know that you're not right. You can't persecute women and children and feel right about it. Not if you're any kind of a decent person. He knew something. I'm pricking at you, Paul. You're going to have to cut it loose. Paul says in Philippians about, I was born the eighth day, circumcised the eighth day, the tribe of Benjamin. He went through this list. What did he do? I cut it loose. I cut it loose. I counted all as dung. I counted all as loss. I cut it loose. I had a heritage. People looked up to me. I had respect and honor. I was a learned man. I'd done all this thing. I was a Pharisee of the Pharisee, a Hebrew. I had something. But I got on the trail, and I cut it loose. There's nothing else left now. I cut all that out, and I burned the bridges. I can't go back and be a part of the Sanhedrin anymore. I can't go back and be a Pharisee anymore. I cut all of that loose. Not going back now. The only way is forward now. Fight the good fight. Finish the course. Keep the faith. I'm going to take it to the Lord with what He gave me all the way. So, young man, if thou would be perfect, go and sell that thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful. Why? Why did he go away sorrowful? Had Jesus spoke that to the Lazarus, what would he have done? He wouldn't have went away sorrowful. If he'd have spoken to the beggar beside the gate, what would he have done? He wouldn't have went away. What did happen here? He went away sorrowful. For he had great possessions. Young man, you're going to have to cut it loose. You're going to have to get rid of that and burn the bridges and say, no, that's not for me. You know, there's a great chance that the Lord could have very well made him. He could have gave it all away and God could gave it all back. As long as his heart was right, you can do anything. You can serve God with that. You got your heart right, because it doesn't matter then. My heart ain't on that. If it comes, it comes. If it goes, it goes. My heart ain't on that. Lord, help us to be able to turn loose of the things that we have a hold of our life. If you're bound by the entertainments of this world, the musics and those things, you're going to have to turn them loose. You're going to have to get rid of them. If you're bound by the spirit of unforgiveness, you're going to have to turn it loose. Bitterness, you're going to have to turn it loose. Those things are going to have to be turned loose. The Lord is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we can ask or think. He can do anything, but I'm going to tell you, He's going to meet us at our conviction. And when we get down to the point that we've committed ourselves, like I said, when I was there at that falls, I was looking at that falls. It was beautiful. It was worth going down in there for. And I'm sitting there thinking, there's only one way out of here. I'm going to have to walk out of here. We're totally committed to whatever it was. So for the next 2 hours or whatever it is, trudging up this trail, we've committed ourselves. And I thought, you know what? That's what the Lord wants of us. He wants us to be committed, totally committed. You know, there's only one way for us. It's not back to the world. There's only one way for us in this world, and that is to go all the way to heaven. It's for us to take this time and opportunity, and I mean to go right on. Number 223, I mean to go right on. You pray for me. I want to be faithful.